How's it going, Redneck?
Not too bad. Been a long week. Like I said, I put in my overtime this week and looking at some more overtime before I get my little bit of a holiday break from work. Being in a union, we get a paid vacation for Christmas and New Year's here. So luckily, I'm getting some vacation after these long, hard, work weeks of a lot of overtime.
Very nice.
How
Husky
about
Oscar, what are
yourself?
you up to?
Not much, just trying to burn the house down with dinner today. I went to start the oven to cook some chicken nuggets for the kids, and I forgot there was muffins in there in a Tupperware dish.
Oh
Yeah.
no!
And I melted that to the oven.
Oh.
Was doing a little welding practice apparently.
Oops.
How long did that take you to clean up?
Not long because it's still hot, so we just kind of scraped it. But
Oh, okay, were you doing that thing where you're like pulling the towel across the oven going hot, 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 hot?
no, we actually the wife jumped in and she pulled the racks out, and the racks were actually like glued together by the plastic.
Oh
So hubby, so Husky Husker messed up in the husband role today. But it
Whoopsies.
is.
You were a husky husker in the doghouse then, huh?
Yes. Well, she wasn't mad, but
Oh.
she's like, "You forgot him in there, didn't you?" I was like, "Yeah, I did."
She wasn't mad. She was just disappointed.
Pretty much felt like that.
I'm just saying, that's so much worse.
She was getting her mom on.
That's
Right, I
right.
was like, so I'm sleeping on the couch tonight.
It's like that one, Trace Adkins song, the one hot mama, even when she's, yelling at the kids, she's still that.
Right. I always loved that Junior Brown one when he says it's broke down south of Dallas, and he says he's when he goes says the when the miles go by, there ain't too much that I'm missing, but I've got a wife with a frying pan. When she talks, I'll listen.
Yes,
Yes, sir.
sirree.
Yeah, I mean, any smart man is going to listen to someone who has a frying pan, but
And I
Lord's your
mean,
wife.
in the redneck household, we like to use cast iron, and so cast iron is gonna hurt even more. So a cast iron frying pan, we gotta be careful with
So,
that.
this let me just put this in perspective, okay? Or put this in perspective for you and the listeners, okay? I weigh 4 bills, okay? My wife at the time probably weighed 235, if that. And she stands six, we will stand 6'1", and she stand basically standing suplexed me over a bed. Like hooked the leg and tossed me backwards. As a 400-pound man in flight, it's both terrifying and exhilarating all at the same time.
Ooh.
Everyone like the he hit the ground and everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, the house just sunk 3 inches."
Exactly. I hit the edge of the bed and then onto the other side, and I was like, "What just happened?" I mean, because gravity is a law, and I obey the law. But she broke some scientific formula that I couldn't fathom in my head.
Right.
Oh.
I can just picture you like laying there, like I have no words. Like I'm just, you got me.
I was both, of course, turned on and then also terrified.
Oh man.
I was like, this woman just manhandled me.
Oh.
She just yeeted me through it.
So I know we've talked about the Hawkeyes, but being a Cyclone fan myself, how I was a little disappointed we got beat by Oklahoma today. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
I did see that.
I thought Northwestern had Ohio State though, man.
Yeah, I thought, man, it was that's just I mean, Iowa State has been on fire though. Like,
At the time of this recording, Alabama is only up 35-24 on Florida.
Wow. Yeah, so I was a little disappointed that I didn't get to see like one last game for Iowa this week because
I know, right?
Kirk Ferentz ended up testing positive, the Iowa head coach. don't know. I literally got to see nobody's games today. I've been working like all day. So part of, you know, part of my responsibilities during Christmas keeps me away from the house. So
Although our Vikings play the Bears and we're both 6-7, so we'll see how that goes. The way our Vikings have been playing, it's not that good. I don't know. Like, I've been really disappointed, you know, this year.
So you look at that, though, like, the Vikings, I think, have a legit chance against the Bears. And here's why I say that. The Vikings only lost to Tampa Bay pretty much because Dan Bailey missed 3 field goals and an extra point. Like, he left 10 points on the field, right? And those weren't, those weren't ones he should have missed.
No.
So, I think the Vikings lost by 11, but you talk about leaving 10 points on the field, like, your offense is deflated at that point.
Yep. So,
like, in all honesty, like, every person I've seen, like, analyze the game, right, has said that by the stats alone, the Vikings should have won, but they just, too many points were left on the field, so.
Yeah, it's been a rough year. I don't know. I like Bailey. Bailey's been crazy accurate, and he's been really good. But these past couple of games, he just has kind of pooped in the bed, you know? He's it's just been terrible.
Yeah, he's not been playing well.
But, yeah. Well, we can talk football and sports all day, but let's get into some of the news and today's topics.
Yeah, so the first one I have today is dealing with the company Boeing. There's a report that came out. This is through BBC. As you know, I like BBC a lot. They give a lot of news. And it's, for me, it's a lot. I think they tend to be a little more unbiased either way because they have no bearings here in the U.S. The headline for the one I'm going to bring to you guys is 737 MAX, Boeing inappropriately coached pilots in test after crashes. And pretty much what this article goes through is that the FAA, is saying that the pilots were essentially coached by Boeing into giving the results that Boeing wanted instead of, like, giving the actual reports that – what was on the plane, right? So there's a lot of stuff there, but I figured Husky Husker tends to like planes a lot more than I probably do.
I like planes.
Yeah, and for some reason I work in the aerospace and defense industry, so I know a little bit about planes and aerospace, you know, stuff.
Yeah, so pretty much what this comes down to, and I'll let you guys talk about this in a second because I'm sure you guys know a lot more of the technical stuff than I do, so I'll let you all get into it, whatever. But what this comes down to is that the FAA is accusing Boeing of telling its pilots to give pretty much false information, is my understanding of it. And what's happened is because of that, Boeing has continued to produce these airlines, even though there's a possibility within these airplanes, that they are not safe to be flown and that their crash is literally caused by malfunctions within the system, but the pilots are not actually giving legitimate results that they had.
Yeah. I'll let the Husky Husker go first if he has any thoughts on this one.
Yeah, I think, I mean, because if I believe the 737 MAX is also the one that's had just out the gate numerous issues with that frame. But I don't know if I would necessarily play with safety with a thing that can come out of the sky at multiple hundreds of miles an hour and crash the ground.
Right.
Not saying that it's okay for any safety thing, but we all have worked a job where we didn't really care about the safety. But I think they, should be fined or whatever for that. But I mean, if they can prove it, you know, because there's always some controversy or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's okay to play with safety of an airplane.
Safety in aerospace is one of those things. Like, the companies that actually make the parts for the planes themselves, the rigorous testing, like, just based on, like, my knowledge, you know, that we go through for the different things that we build, you know, there's a lot of testing and stuff. And for them to coach these pilots to give these bad results gives bad safety and bad data, because the thing is the engineers need to have this data correct. They don't need these pilots to be giving them bad data, because if they give them correct data, the safety could be fixed. These planes can be put into the air safely, and the 737s can then actually haul the amount of people that these companies who have bought them from Boeing are planning to haul. I mean, of course, once COVID restrictions and all of that, you know, gets a little more lax and stuff. But the thing is, you know, if Boeing, like, I get that they don't want it bad to come back on their company. And unfortunately, large companies like this that have the money sometimes will just pay their lawyers and say, okay, well, chalk it up to a settlement or lawsuit or whatever, because it was cheaper than their research and development to get these things done, which is unfortunate because it cuts into the safety of these things.
Yeah, so let me read just a snippet from this actual article. And again, this comes from BBC.com. You can find it going news, typing in Boeing and all that. So what it says is that Boeing officials inappropriately coached test pilots in the MCAS simulator, testing contrary to testing protocol. It said, it appears in this instance, FAA and Boeing were attempting to cover up important information that may have contributed to the 737 MAX tragedies. The report cited a whistleblower who claimed that Boeing officials prompted test pilots to use a particular control immediately before an exercise.
Yeah, see, and again, that's, if you're hiding stuff like that, and that's sketchy to me. That seems like at that point you're so far into development and have so much money into this that you're almost at the point where it's cheaper to pay a settlement or lawsuits than it is to fix this issue and to cover it up.
Yes and no, but you see, when they're paying settlements for this, they're talking, there's gonna be millions, not millions of people, but there's gonna be millions upon millions of dollars. There's gonna be thousands of people who ride these planes, right? These planes are already in the air. They grounded them because there were issues.
Right. So
when you think of all that, like, them paying these settlements is not gonna be cheaper than fixing the issues. Even if it means scrapping the entire plane and trying to, or scrapping the systems or whatever would be causing the issues, right? And starting over, ultimately, the amount of families that they're going to have to pay off, and you're not talking, these families are going to go for, like, you know, hey, pay for the funeral costs for my dad. These families are going to go for, hey, my house needs paid off because my husband was the breadwinner kind of thing, you know? It's not going to be just the simple, like, hey, we're just going to pay for your funeral costs. Bye, you know. So ultimately, Boeing could save themselves their reputation, could save themselves tons of money if they just fix the problem in the first place and not coaching pilots.
Right.
Because even in this article, the author of this article puts, Boeing played Russian roulette with people's lives. Like, how sad is that? Like,
yeah, that's... And, you know, just from the industry, working in the industry, building parts and stuff, the thing is I see the safety that goes into the electronics and the brakes and the everything that, you know, could potentially go into these planes, that you have all of these safety checks, and then they go and coach these pilots to go around these safety checks. So all of these other companies that are helping, because Boeing doesn't necessarily use just Boeing parts. They contract other companies, just like any, you know, Ford will contract other companies to build their cars, or, you know, different motorcycles will do. Carly will have different part companies that build their hoses or stuff like that. The thing is these companies spend the time and safety check all of their stuff for you to put it into your product. Take the time and properly safety check your product so you're not coming back on these other companies as well. So, I mean, at least that's also how I see it too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, planes are fascinating because it's such a, I mean, it's a relatively new technology, right? Like it's not anything that was like developed in the past year, but it's definitely something that we're still perfecting and still working on. And I don't know. It's interesting to see Boeing go through this with their planes. In my opinion, Boeing tends to be like, when you think of planes, like that's what I think of, right?
Yeah, I mean, your two biggest plane manufacturers are going to be Boeing and Airbus. And most people think Boeing because...
320.
Yep, most people think your 747s because, you know, that's your typical commercial airplane. A lot of companies actually do use Airbus as well.
Fair enough. I had no idea. About any of that. What I can say is that it's an interesting thing to consider, and I think Boeing needs to get their acts together a little bit because they're messing with people's lives. So,
well, it's like, and like I said, you can't be like, oh, well, it's not that bad. You know, it's just a little safety issue. You know, a tire can come off a car and you can survive that. A wing comes off a plane. Oh, you're making that one.
Right.
Well, as Ron White says, it'll take you as far as the crash site.
Right. I mean, even though there is so much safety built into these planes and stuff, you know, the thing is you are so high off the ground when you're flying in these planes you know, if you that sudden impact is gonna kill you. The fall is not gonna kill you, it's gonna be the sudden impact.
Right, it's stop at the end.
Yep. Right,
I was gonna say it's the classic dad joke. It's not the fall that kills you; it's the hurts. It's the sudden stop, right?
Yep, exactly.
Well, I have one more, and I know this story will get the redneck going. So, Husker, I'm gonna need your help reining them in a little bit here.
I'll try.
Well, I found this one specifically because I knew it would get him going a little bit. And there haven't been any real arguments yet, so you might even have to play referee here for a little bit, Husker. But this is an article.
Your moderator today.
That's right. Oh. So this is an article that I found that says that your employer can legally mandate you to get the COVID-19 vaccine when you are able to before you come back to work. So we've talked about this. And we know the redneck is completely against government forcing you or someone forcing you to put things into your body, right?
So one thing I will say is my reaction is actually going to surprise you a little bit on this one. Because the thing is, you know, I'm never for government forced things, okay? So the thing is... I personally don't want to take it. If I can avoid it at all costs, I'm going to avoid taking it, like, until there's more research on it. And that's just my thoughts. But the thing is if your private business decides this is what's best for your business, and it's a business decision at that point, you are looking out for the health of your employees and whoever... could come in contact with your employees, and it's a business decision at that point. For instance, with masks, we did not ever need a government mask mandate. And the reason I say that is because if you look at things like, okay, for instance, the NBA was the first ones to shut down their event. And then, you know, other companies fell into line. And then all of a sudden the government got into it. And when the government got into it, they came back and everybody's like, roar, no, we got to fight back. You know, all of these people who were anti, you know, mask now because the government got into it. And the thing is I think if they weren't to mandate it, people wouldn't fight back, because the problem is people naturally have an issue. If I don't want to do something and you tell me I have to do something, then I'm going to naturally fight back against it.
But don't you think that people are going to naturally fight back against their employers now? Like, you say that the government, it's just the government, but that's not the case. You said people don't want to do something, they're going to naturally fight back.
Right.
So let me ask you this, and because you said multiple times you're very much against the government mandating that you put in your body,
mm-hmm.
What's the difference between the government mandating and your employer mandating it, right? You both of these are this authority. So what's the difference?
Okay, the difference is most of the time if the government mandates something, they have the power to send somebody with a gun to your house and by threat of violence, force your whatever mandate. Your employer, you are in a willing contract with your employer for employment. You have every right to terminate that contract and say, no, I'm not going to do this. Your employer is not going to come to your house with a gun and say, no, I said you have to do this.
What if you work for the government?
Well, then you're just... I mean, you signed up for that crap. Yeah.
I think okay, so I'm gonna be honest with you and myself here. I'm on the fence about the vaccine. Okay. Usually she doesn't care if it is. So my wife is anti-vax. Not like I have to tell everybody about it. She just doesn't, you know. She has her reasoning. I have mine. Okay. But do I believe that medical technology and stuff cannot, we don't have to wait like 9 years for a vaccine? Yes. I think we're that far. My only issue that I've heard of, again, I mean, I've had charts and whatever that what's in them and whatnot, whatever. Are the mild symptoms, they said, you know, because this a certain way, what I've read, again, I don't know if this is true, but what I've read is you get the mild symptoms of COVID, right? But my problem is right now I have a breathing issue, but I mean, I can't pull in a deep breath. I've had this since, I think I told you, February. Okay, and... it's my oxygen levels are at 100%, if not 96 most of the time. So I'm well within healthy. It's just that I can't pull that deep breath. But then if I have this and I have mild symptoms, is that going to make it worse? You know, that's where I'm on the fence with. But wrapping that back to what we're talking about. Now, if I was already employed with a place and they said, you have to do this, I have that issue. I go to that. I don't know if that's libertarian, whatever. I go into the fact that you can't, as an employer, tell me what goes in my body. Okay.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you sign an agreement to a new hire place, and you sign that yes, you will take this COVID thing, then yes, you're legally obligated to do so.
Right.
But you know. My thing is, if I was been there, I've been there a while, and you're like to continue your employment or be terminated.
Yes. Right. Yeah. No, I can agree with that. Like I see, and I see it, the fact that, you know, you are the owner of your business. You own your business and you own your rights to continue whatever contract of employment. So like, I do kind of see it all, as far as the other side, because for instance, if you owned a smaller business and you only had 5 employees and you asked them to do it, and you know, the thing was, is if you asked and they said no, and then you fired them, I think you're a garbage human being, because that's stupid to do in the first place. You shouldn't do that. but I think that that's your prerogative because it is your business.
Yeah, so let me just say one thing before, just to clarify a couple things. One, I don't necessarily think that people should be losing their jobs over not getting this vaccine, right? There's still, as we've pointed out before, it is still a relatively new technology, and this technology has yet to be completely proven. So I understand there are some hesitations behind getting this vaccine. I've shared before that I don't care if it makes me grow a third arm, I'll happily get this vaccine. And with a third arm, I'll just be able to eat my Cheetos faster, right? But with that said, I also think that some of these employers are just looking out for what's not only best for their community, but what's best for their office, what's best for their store, what's best for all their business, right? So when you look at all this stuff, you have to remember that you can't just be narrow-minded, or you can't be narrow-focused, excuse me, not narrow-minded, let me back up here, narrow-focused on, well, I'm stuttering over my words here. You can't be narrow-focused on that we're only going to focus on getting the vaccine for like our office or for this reason. I think a lot of these employers are doing this because they feel like they're helping the community. They're helping this, which do I necessarily agree? I don't know. But what I can say is I, because the employers aren't asking for your medical records, employers aren't telling you, you can't work here because you have a disability, all those kind of things. I don't think they're breaking any laws. And matter of fact, that's pretty much what this article is saying. They're not breaking any laws. They can tell you, you have to get this vaccine before you come back to work. And playing a little bit of devil's advocate, like, I have a young son. Like, I don't want people maybe in my office who are going to possibly bring this COVID-19 to me and my family. Right? Like, I could bounce back as a healthy 27, slightly husky, healthy 27-year-old, right? But my son, who's 15 months old, can't bounce back as fast as I can or as easy as I can. So that's one of those things that, as an employer, I don't know, I might say, like, hey, guys, I need you to have this.
Yeah, I mean, see, and my whole thing is, though, when it comes to a lot of the requiring it, okay, yeah, you can require it of your employees, but if another company's not requiring it and people aren't going to get it, what, I mean, yeah, the vaccine is 95% effective. I mean, you're 99% likely to survive it anyways. That's my whole thing with it. I mean, those numbers don't seem to add up to me. And my issue is also for me, for instance, one reason I have an issue with it is the last vaccine I had, and like I said, I'm not anti-vax by any means, because I think if they had the science behind them and have been proven to work, I'm all for them. There's reasons we have diseases that have been eradicated. You know, but the thing is it's such a new technology, and like I had a bad reaction to a tetanus whooping cough vaccine shot. And I'm seeing all of this all over the news that there's been bad reactions to this shot, and that people who have had bad reactions to other shots, that they're seeing that there might be a potential trend that those people are having issues with them. So that makes me even more nervous to get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
that's like, so that's what I think too, is like what was the big thing with, you know, it was vaccines for your kids. Oh, it causes autism, or it causes this, you know.
I know one of them is like, I think, is it the chickenpox vaccine?
I think so.
Yeah. I want to say it's the chickenpox vaccine that they are talking about.
Yeah. So, and then there's always going to be debate on what is good and what's not good. You know, Bill, mm-hmm. It's like I said, I've had a bad reaction to the flu shot, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the most sick I've been in like 3 years when I finally got the flu shot. And usually every year up until I was 30 or 31, I didn't get the flu shot, you know. Right. But yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think it really depends on like where you live as well. So if you're living in community, for instance, if you're living on a college campus, to me it makes sense that you would get it because you're going to be a lot more likely to spread those kind of things, right? So if you're living on campus of somewhere, you're gonna be more likely to get the flu because your neighbors, like you have a roommate who's probably what, 6 feet from you at the most, and your neighbor's probably 3 feet through a paper thin wall, you know. Those kind of situations make sense. If you can be more secluded, maybe not, maybe wait and see. I don't know. I've seen some friends of mine who work in the health the healthcare field. Oh my goodness. Sorry about that. Healthcare field have already gotten their shots and they are, I don't know if they've had side effects or not, but anyway, all that to say, I knew the redneck would have some very strong opinions about that. So I thought it would be something to talk.
Definitely. And I mean, talking about government mandates, I mean, that points definitely into my, you know, you like my transition there into my story there, talking about Facebook, everybody's beloved face of the book.
I just have to say one thing. When you point out your transition, it makes it a whole lot less smooth.
I know that was the point. So the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, is putting a lawsuit in against Facebook because they are saying that Facebook has engaged in anti-competitive behavior in the marketplace. Because the thing is Facebook has been known, if they can't beat them, they buy them. For instance, if you look at Instagram was coming up as one of the largest in the market, and Facebook bought them. WhatsApp, again, another one that Facebook purchased. And that's what they're saying in this is that it's from CNN Business is the article that I was reading, and there was a couple other articles on this. They're saying that Facebook, they're suing them for potential anti-competitive practices. More than 40 attorneys general ultimately signed on to the complaint. The FTC has been conducting its own antitrust investigation of Facebook since June of 2019. For nearly a decade, Facebook has used its dominance and a monopoly power to crush smaller rivals and snuff out competition, said James at a press conference Wednesday. By using its vast troves of data and money, Facebook has squashed or hindered what the company perceived to be potential threats. The suit calls for a court order requiring Facebook to notify state officials of any further acquisitions valued over $10 million or more, and then they would have to divest of both Instagram and WhatsApp. So I don't know. I'm not a huge proponent for, you know, the government getting involved in any sort of, you know, business if it can be helped. The thing is with this, I do not like to see companies hinder or just, you know, oh, I have the cash, so I'm just going to buy up whatever company is, you know, hindering my market share.
Well, I mean, so there's a couple things with this one. The first thing is that with that business model, right, if you can't beat them, buy them, I mean, essentially you could just buy the whole market and just be one big giant. I do think that kind of when there's no competition, it, like I said last time, without competition, it creates a stagnant market. It creates no advancements. It creates lack of innovation. And I think that's one of the reasons that the FTC stopping these monopolies has actually helped like our economy grow, because then you look at places like, okay, Facebook came up with this huge thing. Actually, let's be honest, let's go back to MySpace. MySpace came out, was this huge thing. Facebook came up. Now everyone's like, what's MySpace, right? I was talking to, side note, I was talking to one of the kids in the youth group the other day, and I was like, oh, back when MySpace was a thing, and they went, MySpace?
You're old.
And I was like, you're kidding, right? You all know what MySpace is. And they're like, no. I went, so you Everybody guys don't know what top Tom. Eight? Yeah, they had no idea who Tom was.
Tom was the real G.
That's why we were not all depressed in 2008, because we had Tom.
Right, we all had Tom. Right.
Man, see, Tom just came in the scene, taught us all a little bit of HTML, said deuces, got out, and just lived his life. Man, he was the real G.
Yeah, I mean, go Tom. You're an awesome guy. Anyway, so
Tom's a hero. All...
go Tom. Official, we're changing the name of this podcast to just Tom, right?
Where in the world is Tom?
Right. If MySpace Tom is out there, and perhaps one of like the five people listening to this podcast, like, let us know. Email us at redneckpastorpodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, shameless plug. But no, so all that to say that it creates innovation. Wow. I speak for a living, guys. It creates innovation. Ouch. I like you too, Husky Husker. But I love you, buddy. I love you. Anyway, so it creates innovation. It creates competition. And Facebook, of course, like, if someone's going to compete against them, they're going to try and buy them, because I think a lot of times when Facebook, you know, talking about Facebook, Facebook saw what Instagram was doing and went, hey, we can do that with Facebook too. Like, we like to take some of the stuff that they have good, some of the things that we have good, mash them together, and then we'll create this really cool pictures-only app that now is, you know, a bunch of words can go below your pictures, but at least you have to have a picture with it so I can scroll past your words at this point. You know,
right? Well, no, see, and I get that. See, I was also reading another article that was talking about this, and the thing is the other issue with Facebook is the way they've structured, the way they knock out their competition is it's rough, because the thing is they try to buy them out, and then they were talking that their next thing is then if they can't buy them out, they're going to copy them, and they're going to try to figure out something like that. I mean, for instance, if you look at stories, once Facebook came out with stories, you know how much that cut into Snapchat's profit? Because Facebook actually tried to buy out Snapchat before Snapchat turned them down and said no. And then all of a sudden Facebook came out with their stories on their side and cut into Snapchat, and Snapchat was the fastest growing social media at the time. And when Facebook came out with their stories, it was the first time they ever seen a decline. So it's, you know, it's just rough, because the thing is if you're going to do that, and then that's going to stifle people from even like, okay, if Facebook's just going to stand and stomp on my, you know, jugular every time I try to innovate, like, what's the purpose?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're muted there, Pastor. Yeah, no, it's one of those things that, you know, what's, and you were just talking about innovation. Like I said, what would be the purpose to innovate if they can just step on my jugular?
Well, it's to take part of their business. If you have places like Snapchat who aren't willing to sell, yeah, Facebook is going to try and copy you. But let's be honest, Snapchat is still a whole lot better at what they do than the Facebook stories. Facebook stories, yeah, they're kind of cool, whatever. You can see it at the top of your Facebook page, whatever. Snapchat's still so much better than them for those kind of things. And I think that's kind of what you have to look at. Like, ultimately, if you're making a quality app or a quality product, then your product will do better than the lesser product. I'd be curious to know what, after everyone realized how bad Facebook stories was, how many people went back to Snapchat? How many people decided that, you know what, this thing is kind of cool, but I'm gonna stick with Snapchat.
The other thing that Facebook was doing in this that I did see is they were cutting off all of the third-party app developers from their essentially code that allows it to gel with them. So like when Instagram, so they tried to buy out Instagram, and then Instagram didn't want to be bought out at first, and there was a few issues there when they first bought them out. But and so then Facebook just essentially denied all cross-platform access of the two together with this code that allows the two to communicate, essentially making it harder for the true nature of social media to be social media. And so if you're going to step on those innovations and block these companies and then give them no choice but to sell, how is that fair?
I think what we can come say our conclusion is for the story is Mark Zuckerberg, be more like Tom.
Yes, exactly. Like I said, Tom's the real OG, and then Zuckerberg is just a lizard, people.
So I looked it up while we were talking, and apparently he sold MySpace in 2005 for $580 million, and then successfully retired in 2009 when he left the company. And he took up photography and is traveling the world, and he's still valued at $65 million net worth. And then what was funny is a lady in July of this year tweeted, "Remember Tom? Remember how he just sold his $500 million share in MySpace and retired so he could have a nice life? He never sold our data, never tried to influence elections, never lobbied against privacy legislations. What a man. MySpace is just too pure for this world." And he responded with two heart emojis and a
heck yeah, that's epic.
So that man's he's living a charm life, according to this.
Oh, episode. He is the real OG.
So
MySpace, I think Tom, we love you.
Yes, Tom, we love you. Mark Zuckerberg.
Lizard man.
So my next story I had for the evening was that President-elect Joe Biden has elected Pete Buttigieg as the transportation secretary. And Pete Buttigieg is the first openly gay cabinet member to be potentially elected. So, and the thing is with this, as far as looking at filling the cabinet wise, you know, if you look traditionally mayors of cities, however large cities, I mean, South Bend is not that big of a city. It really isn't. And you know, the thing is, but for larger cities, typically the mayors of those kind of cities have made really good transportation secretaries because they have to know, you know, transportation at a metro level. However, how he's going to do being South Bend, I don't know.
Yeah, so South Bend, according to Google, is 101,000 people. So that's a relatively small city. You're talking, I imagine they have a bus system. I imagine they have some taxis and stuff. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he does. I think the most important thing here to look at, though, is like the first openly gay man is, I mean, it's awesome. Cool. More power to you. What I would say is that if he's not the right man for the job and he's not going to do a good job, then just having someone on there so you can say your presidency was the first to have the first openly gay man is not okay. Fill the person for the job who's the most qualified, who can do it, not just because you want to fill a cabinet with openly gay people or whatever. I mean, it's that simple. If there was a openly gay woman, like I think like Mayor of Chicago, she'd probably be more qualified than him to do it.
Right.
I don't know. And I'm not saying he's not qualified. I don't know. He probably might be qualified, but I'm just saying that, for instance, you know, fill it with the person who's right for the job, not the person that you think will get you the most headlines.
Right. And see, and that's exactly what I'm seeing with a lot of these cabinet picks. And like, I he's picking a lot of these people who are tried and true Washington, D.C. swamp, you know, people that are just a part of that Washington, D.C. swamp. That is that, you know, group of politicians that are tried and true politicians, or he's filling it with these roles of the first openly gay or the first, you know, Native American or the first African American or the first whatever of these positions, instead of filling it with somebody who's qualified. Not that they're not qualified or don't have the right qualifications, some of them might. But the thing is looking at this traditionally, I'm not saying that traditions are always the right way to do things, but traditionally it's been of a larger city. And I kind of see why. I mean, not that, you know, South Bend doesn't have good transportation, but if you're talking mass transportation and you're going to try, I think it's a failure in the first place, because if you look at most public transit, it is not all that well organized. It's not all that great in the first place. There's countries that make our public transit look like, you know, ooh, the sewer system. But the thing is if you're going to try to do it on a government level, at least put the right person in place, like you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, so I lived in Chicago for a couple of years, and I do think that Chicago's public transit systems are actually pretty good for the most part. You can get where you need to go, I mean, faster than driving anyway, so.
Right. No, and I completely agree with that. Husky, you got any thoughts?
Not in that. No, at this moment.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is just one of those things that choose the right guy for the job. I mean, if he's the right guy, awesome. If he's not, he probably won't be on there very long, so they'll find somebody else. So.
Right, definitely. Yeah, so the next one I had, this article, man, I watched the video, and I just was so just baffled at how many like buzzwords they're trying to put to this. And like, okay, if this guy was truly beat up the way he was, and so if you look at the title, I titled this one as COVID Dave Was Attacked. And the reason I say this is because this guy, the whole story is, the guy's name is Daniel Troublefield. He was at, and this is from, let's see, what city is this in? It's Cairo 7. I don't know what city it's from. It's in Oregon. He was he was at the Ocean Shores IGA and called someone out for not wearing a mask inside the store. He said the conversation turned heated, but he thought that was the end of it. However, he was not expecting what happened once he walked out. He said, I curled up in the fetal position and I was just ready to die. He shared the surveillance camera video with Cairo News 7, which he got from the neighboring drugstore. The video shows him in the parking lot while walking out to his white car, but he walks past it as he was taunted by the maskless men. They kept breathing they kept berating me with expletives, calling me snowflake, and it's not science, it's a hoax, Treblefield recalled. Looking back, Daniel wishes he ignored them. To my regret, I walked up to the car. I was trying to explain, it's science, and you should be wearing a mask because you're endangering me and everyone else in the store by not having a mask on. That's when things escalated even further. The gentleman tapped on my chest, and I flipped his hat up. Okay, first off, that one right there, being a redneck, you touch a redneck's hat, that is fighting words right there. but it continues on to say, I flipped his hat up, and then they both got out of the car. The video quality isn't great, but you can see someone's thrown to the ground in the video. Treblefield explained that one grabbed me by the neck in a chokehold and got me down to the ground. And before I knew it, I was getting my face pummeled with fists. The beating lasted about 20 seconds. The men took off, and now he's worried that they're going to get away and he won't get justice. I feel that the police aren't doing enough, Treblefield said. I'm in the dark right now about everything. Oceanfield Shores police said that the investigation is ongoing and they don't know whether it was an assault or self-defense. All of this, okay, this all happens, and then it comes down to the end of the story to find out, and they use another buzzword here saying that he is a disabled Marine veteran as well. So this story just seems so far-fetched to me. That it seems like this news station is almost, I'm not accusing them and saying that this dude didn't get beat up or whatever, but it seems like they're almost throwing all of these words in there to try to get you upset and irate about the fact that these guys weren't wearing masks and making everything about the fact that these guys were maskless men and these guys were taunting him and calling him a snowflake and calling him this. And it seems like they're trying to pander so much to one side of the political side instead of actually looking at the, I mean, the dude got beat up. I feel bad for him, but I mean, he was right. He should have just gotten his car and left.
Yeah. So there's a couple things there as well. Like, yeah, absolutely. Should have gotten his car and left. If he really was a disabled veteran, though, I'm sure he was trying to just say his piece and move on. This news station, I'm sure, that's what sells. I'm sure they were trying to use buzzwords and make things look worse than they are. But again, that's what sells news, right?
Right.
The other thing with that is that with these guys, I'm sure not everything is exactly how it says. I mean, they may have called him a snowflake. They may have called him, and he might have called them stupid or what. I don't know. It all just kind of seems pointless to me. The whole, we're going to beat you up because you're wearing a mask.
Like I said, it was one of
really hate Halloween.
Right. Well, and see, that's why I called it the COVID Dave attacked, because the thing is like, he is, you know, there's that whole Karen and Dave term now where it's the people who are the, you know, people, can I speak to your manager kind of people. And that's what this dude is. My thing is, he was in the wrong in the first place, because it's not your business to tell somebody else what to do with their body and what to do in their life. So the thing is he should have just confronted them in the first place, and nothing would have happened. He would have been fine.
Well, yeah, but also remember that if the story is correct, how you told it, that they confronted him to start with, right? So I know you pretty well, redneck. And if someone would have...
No. What happened was he confronted them about not wearing a mask in the store.
Oh, so he confronted them about not wearing a mask in the store, and then they called him a snowflake. They got into each other's face. He flipped up the hat, and it was on.
Correct. and then they got out of the car and kicked the crap out of him.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yep.
I misunderstood then. Yeah, I mean, just, yeah, at that point, just let it go.
Right, like, why even get involved in the first place? Right. Some people. It just was so unreal to me. Like, I was so baffled when I read that story. And then, like, if you listen, you'll have to listen and watch the video. The dude, like, when you hear him talk, the dude is, like, off his rocker. There's something not right with this dude. He's, I don't know.
A disabled veteran?
No, no, I'm not trying to make fun of disabled veterans. No, but I'm saying, like, there's a difference. I'm not saying that, you know, whatever is his disability is a problem. But what I'm saying is the fact that if you're willing to step out and confront somebody, you better be willing to take the punishment. Don't stand out and confront somebody and not expect somebody to get upset if they feel differently than you. And then if it escalates, I mean, you shouldn't have been doing it in the first place.
So life lessons here is to keep your mouth shut and nobody gets hurt.
Yes, exactly.
Don't start no crap, don't be no crap.
Right. Well, and the whole thing is that it just comes down to the thing is if you don't aggress on me, I won't aggress on you. And the thing is if he did not take the steps to confront them and complain to them about not wearing a mask, I doubt they would have even noticed him in the store.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility, but I don't know. I hope everyone there is okay. I hope this gentleman is all right. Don't confront people. Don't be stupid.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah.
All right.
So, go ahead,
going
Pastor.
On this week to the Florida Man moment. Oh, Florida, the Florida Man moment, which I understand our friend the Husky Husker has a good story for us.
The Oh, Florida Man moment of the week. So, hold on, I was on a different story. So this Florida man, which is funny because I thought I was like, oh man, I'm about to, at first I thought about doing the where you put your birthday in and then you put Florida man, which mine is hilarious. But
next week.
Yeah. And then, so I put it in and the first thing that pops up was like, at the time the story was like 11 hours old and I was like, thank you, Jesus. this Florida man was bitten by a shark and then walks home before going to go to the hospital. So, Florida man who was bleeding profusely from a shark bite managed to walk home on Tuesday before being hospitalized. The 39-year-old man was attacked by a shark in the waters off of Siesta Key, Fox 13 reported, citing Sarasota County Fire and Rescue and hospital staff. After returning home, a woman called 911 to report a victim was bleeding to death from wounds to his hands and arm. On the call, the woman can be heard telling the man who is conscious that everything's going to be okay. Since 9/11 dispatcher gave the woman directions how to control the bleeding, the report said the shark bite victim was taken to Sarasota Memorial Hospital.
Did he survive?
As far as I know, he did. This is from the New York Post. Let's see here. But my thoughts were, I would kind of call 911 coming out of the water, per se, only unless.
Yeah. I mean, you would think you would be bleeding. It said he was bleeding profusely, right?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he got bit pretty good. Yeah.
Did it say if he walked home or drove home? Or
it sounded like he walked home.
So how in the world did he walk way home without somebody noticing, hey, that dude is bleeding?
Right? Oh man, only in Florida for real, man. That's a real old Florida man moment.
Yeah, so Yeah, he'd been bitten in the hand and arm. So, I mean, pretty sure that the shark probably got an artery. And it was... The woman added that the victim looked pale and appeared to be bleeding to death, but was still responsive and breathing. And I know it's going to warm up. Anyway. It says it's unclear his condition was or how severe the injuries were. The incident is the latest in a series of unprovoked shark attacks in Florida. Well, you cannot say a shark attack is unprovoked. you're in their house.
I mean, that's like going into a grizzly bear's cave and poking it with a stick and saying, oh, I got bitten by a bear. All I was doing was walking in its home.
Or right. Walking into a redneck's house with dinner and not expecting to get shot.
How do you, because it's like, I want to go down there and like, you know, they're like, how do you not get bit by a shark? Don't go in the water.
You're right.
Don't go try to say hi to it and give it cookies, you know?
Ooh, pretty shark. Let's pet the shark.
I love swimming and all, but.
Oh, you know, not.
Even though I make jokes that I'm the size of a whale, I am not. I can't fend off a shark.
Don't you just punch it in the nose and it just goes away, right?
I was just picturing the chats that as he's walking down, like if he walked and he's like walking down the sidewalk and the guy's like, whoa, what happened to you? I just got bit by a shark. I'll be fine.
Right?
Oh, you know, man. You're fine. I'm a Florida man. It's fine.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
That's his excuse.
Yeah. Oh. My question is, how do they know it was unprovoked? Though, so, like, this guy could have been like tickling the shark or like punching the shark or something.
Yelling
like
at it.
Yeah, like stupid shark.
He was taking out his aggression, right?
Your mom failed as a shark, and then wham!
Your mama's a hammerhead.
Like how we know he wasn't throwing like shark game signs at the shark.
Right. Remember, remember, don't confront people or sharks now.
Shark gangs.
Oh man, that's whoo, shark gang signs. That fits. Whoo, man.
Especially if you're the Jets.
Whoo, it's the West Side Story. Oh, that's funny. Well,
all right, Redneck.
That's probably what he did. He came into the water doing the snapping.
Right? That was the proof. That was what provoked him.
Oh, heck no.
The shark was not unprovoked. That's where we landed. The shark was not unprovoked.
Oh, man.
Just only hear some snapping. What?
Oh, man. Well, let's get into some conspiracies, boys. Saddle up. We're going to talk about some Bigfoot this week. Okay. So, to warn you guys, I went down a bit of a whole rabbit hole of Bigfoot material in general. So, I listened. There's a couple of podcasts out there that I've been listening to. There's a couple of other sources. I gave you guys a source here. And so one of the podcasts, the reason I get the source takes you to South Dakota at first is these are the sightings in South Dakota that are on this website here. And the name of the website for all of our listeners, this is the Bigfoot Field Research Organization that we're looking at, and people can submit their sightings on this website, and they have all sorts of, you can go state by state, and if you have a sighting, you can put it in there. And so there's two schools of thought on Bigfoot. So when it comes to Bigfoot, there are the ape believers, and there are the extraterrestrial paranormal believers. So if you look at our show notes, for Pastor and Husky Husker there, I put Bigfoot, redneck, or interdimensional hopping beast. So the reason I said redneck.
Interdimensional redneck hopping beast.
Right. Well, I mean, I get teased that I'm a Sasquatch because I wear a size 15 shoe. So I don't have to look far to find a big hairy beast because I just have to look in the mirror. you know, it's not that hard. But the thing is so there's two schools of thought. There's one school of thought that he is an interdimensional time hopping beast. And the thing is with this Bigfoot, the reason we don't get many pictures of him is because he time warps and jumps to another dimension when you're trying to take a picture. And so that's why all the pictures are blurry and we don't get everything like that. And then the thing is the ape believers believe that Bigfoot or Sasquatch is a bunch of beasts that are very smart to human life, or they could be a Neanderthal type beast that is a biped. So you know,
wait, what's a biped?
Biped walks on two legs.
Gotcha.
Yes. There's a lot that goes into Bigfoot. So the thing is we could be talking about this for a few episodes here, because I've definitely gone down a rabbit hole for Bigfoot. So the thing is I was, you know, living in Iowa. I pulled up the map here for Iowa, and I was, some of the sightings that people supposedly have cracked me up. But then I've noticed up in like Oregon and Washington State, some of those sightings, if you are an ape believer, seem very, very plausible. Like some of them, I think I could believe in Bigfoot. I think there's Sasquatch out there, but I think I'd be more on, I don't think he's an interdimensional time hopper. I think I might be part Bigfoot. I think he might be, you know, some sort of biped ape kind of thing.
Right. I mean, at this point, I'm going to just say he's a mech. He's like a cyborg. He's a T-3000.
Okay. So, I think Bigfoot is exactly what Redneck has claimed. It's a redneck. It's a redneck in a gorilla suit with a gun, man.
He's just been going around to every forest. He's going, get off my lawn!
All right, he's, if you hear and you see Bigfoot, just run, it's a redneck.
You know, see, maybe that's why some of these seem really far-fetched, is because maybe it's my kind of people who are just, you know, too far out where the banjos start really getting really loud, you start getting a little scared. And you know, it's one of those things that maybe some of these folks are just so far out there that they see somebody like me and they say, Bigfoot!
Right. There's some places in Nebraska I've gone and I'm like, do you hear that? Do
load up the tripod. We're going to town.
This is exactly where they filmed Deliverance. That's where.
And Children of the Corn.
Have you never seen that movie? Save yourself from ever seeing it.
Oh man. Gosh.
So I will say, from this website you've given us, it seems that there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings in the Black Hills.
Yes. So that is one Lawrence, thing.
Meade and Pennington.
Yeah. So that's one thing that a lot of people have said with that, is that they believe that it could be with the Black Hills, that on the interdimensional time hopping beast kind of side. They also have said that, going back to my aliens, that the Black Hills is also a hotbed for aliens. And so that's why they think that Oh, it's gorgeous. I mean, if I was an alien, that's about the only place, if I was an alien, that I would want to, like, come see as far as in the United States. I mean, that's about the only place I would want to see if I was an alien. I mean, but the thing is with that, they think he might be in that area because it's a hotbed for UFO areas. And if he's a time hopping beast, who says he can't fly? He, you know, he might not have UFOs.
Exactly. Like, I remember there's supposedly a UFO landing pad right behind the Mount Rushmore heads. I've heard that one before.
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, if you got into South Dakota conspiracy theories, in Mount Rushmore, there's also supposedly a secret presidential nuclear bunker.
Can the eyes be closed?
I feel like we've get into a lot of conspiracies that we're going to have to save for later. As for Bigfoot, dude, I don't know. You have me speechless again. Again, I talk for a living, but dude, Bigfoot.
I told you to saddle up. I told you you were ready for a wild ride here tonight.
You know, I should have listened. I should have listened. That's on me. That's definitely on me. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add about Bigfoot before I save some humanity?
I think you should save humanity from my Bigfoot wormhole. All
right, let's save some humanity here. So one of the things I wanted to talk about this week with the Save Humanity moment is actually really cool. There's actually a record number of Native American women that were elected to Congress.
Native American woman.
Yeah, there's one. This Native American woman was elected. No.
You and your womans need to get out of here.
Now you're starting to sound like me there, Pastor.
Oh, my goodness. Tomorrow, if I get up in front of my congregation and go, all them women's named Mary, people are going to like, look at me, and I'll be like, oh, no, bad redneck. Right. And if I all of a sudden say bad redneck, my congregation will be even more offended. So I probably
should just right. Say that. What? Better stop saying that.
We ain't no rednecks. We just bring our guns to church and clean them in the back.
I mean, that sounds like my kind of crowd right there.
We're going to go hunting and fishing as soon as the pastor's done talking, so make your sermon short this week, Pastor. Anyway.
That's the fish fry after church.
Make it short, Pastor. We got Bigfoot to go after.
Pastor, there's aliens up there on Mount Rushmore.
Well, we're going on what they call one of those expeditions. I don't know why we're taking a Ford, but...
Because we want to make it there.
Right?
Anyway, so back to this, saving humanity. Oh, my goodness. There's a record number of Native American women on the House of Representatives. House of Representatives. Oh my gosh. Guys, I speak for a living. anyway, so my understanding from this article is there are two people, two ladies who were reelected from one from New Mexico and one from Kansas. And then an additional two, one is from, or both from New Mexico, it looks like. Anyway, so this is one of those things that I thought was really cool for a lot of reasons. One, if you do any, like, if you like any history, if you like any of that kind of stuff, you realize that the Europeans were not as nice to the Native Americans as they should have been. And with that being said, without going into that dark history, this is just an awesome story to see that the people who originally own the land that we live on, the people who originally had claim to this land, are actually having a voice heard, or having more of a voice that's heard. And I think it'd be really cool to get more people who are maybe native or minorities onto the House of Representatives, onto the Senate, I still think we see a lot of one-dimensional or one demographic, rather, kind of Congress and the House. For the vast majority, I would say, are most likely men, and most of them are white. It'd be really cool to see a more diverse representation of the U.S. So that's one of the reasons I want to say this is saving humanity. So kudos to voters for giving more people a voice.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. That's awesome to see that, you know, we're getting a more diverse culture in our upper leadership of our government. I mean, like I said, I'm not a big government proponent by any means, but if we can get a more diverse crowd up there of just minds and people who, you know, can bring different points of view and different walks of life to our government and see different, you know, ways that people think and stuff, and get, you know, just everybody's culture in there. And, you know, America's supposed to be a melting pot, and it's supposed to be for everybody, you know. That's just one of those things that it's awesome. So with that said, we will go ahead and wrap up for the night. I mean, we've been talking at you for about an hour and 15 here. We went a little long tonight. I got a little conspiracy theory wrapped up, and you know, it happens with the redneck around. So if you guys have any final thoughts, I'll let you guys go ahead. And if not, I'll give all of our final, you know, Facebook and everything a shot. So I'll let you guys go ahead and have your final words here if you want. Go ahead, Husky Husker.
Oh, hi. long time listener, first time caller. No, it's not good. Did you? I don't know if you saw my little note on our notes, but thought it was funny to wrap up your conspiracy theory. So I just put, so he's a redneck interdimensional Easter bunny where his eggs are grenades.
Oh man. But
like I said pre-show, and I wanted to say this now, was there's expeditions on that website to go into the forest and find him. I don't think I want to go. It's like a shark. You don't go into his territory throwing gang signs. You know?
Yep. Oh, exactly.
You don't go into the Bigfoot territory. If Bigfoot's real,
if Bigfoot's real, I don't know what kind of power he has.
Oh, man.
That's my thoughts.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Oh, I have absolutely nothing, but thank you for listening to us ramble, and thank you for listening to us. If you heard anything that we said that was wrong or have a difference of opinion from us, shoot us an email at redneckpastorpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what we messed up. Let us know what you think. Let us know if there's any stories you want to hear our take on. Or let us know if there's any conspiracies or anything you want to add to the Bigfoot theory. Or maybe next week we'll find out that Bigfoot really is a redneck interdimensional Easter bunny. Eggs are also grenades.
Yep. With that said, you can also find us on Facebook. If you go to our Anchor FM site, anchor.fm/redneckpastorpodcast, you'll find us there. And it'll take you directly to our Facebook there and any of the listening apps that we have out there. With that said, you've been listening to Arguments of a Redneck and a Pastor. Thank you. Signing off for Redneck. Have a wonderful night, y'all.
Good night, guys.
Good night.